99.5 on the FM dial. Thank you all so very much. And I know we have a lot of listeners, a lot of producers that are listening to us right now. And we thank you very, very much for tuning in.
With Michael G. Haskins, who's manning the board in WBAI.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hi, Michael.
Good afternoon, Gary, and how are you this afternoon?
Hi,
great.
Gary.
How's it going today down there?
Oh, it's going
me,
great.
Robert.
We're just in this kind of a mini fundraising drive, this summer fundraising
you
drive.
Guys, and you guys
we're
are
hoping
so funny.
To
Michael,
gain
you're
a lot
really
of momentum
great.
From
Gary,
this afternoon's fundraising here.
This is WBAI New York. My name is Robert Knight. Welcome to the program, and this is Earthwatch here on WBAI in New York.
If your heart is breaking, I'm yours, whatever. I will not forsake you ever. Don't cry alone. Through the autumn rain, the winds of love grow colder, don't cry alone. Surely as the sun sets, new suns are rising. As winter heralds spring's horizon, don't cry alone. Don't you ever doubt me, you lead, I will follow. Sweep away all pain and sorrow. Don't don't cry alone. No, don't you ever doubt me. I'll be there for you forever. Don't you ever cry, I'll sweep away all tears and sorrow, and I'll be with you.
house tomorrow. I'll be with you. Don't cry.
The bell for freedom still rings. Sorrow to me, but does it ring to know the bell of freedom still rings? The hammer for justice still pounds. The hammer for justice still pounds. Heavy is the beating sound. And Biggest heart if millions of babies still starve. And the innocent ones still die. The innocent ones still die. We can't value life too high if the innocent ones still die.
Well, greetings and welcome to Earthwatch on WBAI in New York, Pacifica Radio, broadcasting at 99.5 and streaming at WBAI.org. My name is Robert Knight. And for various logistical reasons, we have a conversational reprieve tonight. We actually need a bunch of volunteers. We have but one at the moment. And that faithful, loving brother of BAI is about to go home. So we get to talk to each other with conversation at 212-209-2900. And I kind of welcome this chance for us to mutually engage in the wisdom of our mental survival and the very idea of why this station is here and what you've been up to and so on. So 212-209-2900. If any of you have been following my work recently, I've been very much concerned and alarmed about what's happening in the Middle East, warships to the region, Russian waffling, and yet at the same time, military visits to Syria. I've seen this scenario before so many times in America, where we are news emoted into support of inappropriate wars. So that's been on my mind. As a matter of fact, if any of you are inclined to support the station at this time, despite the inability to do so at full capacity at this very moment. And it's, you know, it's past midnight, and I don't think we can get a whole bunch of new volunteers in time to do anything meaningful, at least during this program. So 212-209-2950 is the number. And is anybody else feeling like they're in a they're a background actor in a scene from Cabaret? But if you are inclined, In the next couple of minutes, give us a call at the pledge line, 212-209-2950. And get your own CD version. You know, there a film called Psywar, P-S-Y-W-A-R. It is exactly the antidote for the military hypnotism of our day. And in the meantime, surely somebody has been thinking about the mission of peace that embodies Pacifica and the proximity of war that threatens us with every day and every deception. 212-209-2900, if you have given any thought to that, which it would surprise me if you hadn't, listening to such a conscious station as this. And here they are. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, you thinking about these things?
Excuse me?
Are you thinking about these things?
Absolutely.
Tell us.
Well, I've been following your broadcast. I've been on the road, came back, but I've been following it too. I heard this guy Webster Tarpley talk about going into Libya and then this thing about Syria. Man, I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand that it was so obvious that there was some domino situation in effect. And that Syria was next on the list, and then noting what, as you pointed out today, with about Russia and their waffling, and I don't know where China is on it, but I got Le Monde, the English edition for June, thinking that they might have an article on Syria in there, and they didn't.
My brother, you know what running water it is over the cliffs of my soul to hear brother say, I was just reading Le Monde. <That's>, bravo.
Hey, man, we're just trying to find out what's going on, that's all. but it was recommended to me, and I really wanted to see something on Syria that wasn't from, the propagandists from BBC or the general media in the U.S.
That's what's so cool about BAI and things that conscious people can do here. We can, as in fact is stated in our charter, our mission, make use of news sources not usually brought together in the same format or field. And, there are people who think that the internet is radio. Radio is not the internet. Let me see you browse stuff at the beach. Let me see you click a website in the mountains.
Right.
And let me see you browse the web so freely when the NSA turns it off. Because they got duplicate switches at every backbone of the internet distribution system. Mm-hmm. And radio is therefore really unique, and there are ignoramuses who think this is a small distinction. But radio is portable and unmonitored.
And it's an art.
Well, hopefully sometimes.
Well, I think people like who have trouble subscribing to BAI, look, man, I listen to a lot of radio. Most of it's propaganda. They repeat everything. The ads are insulting to anyone's intelligence. They repeat the same thing over and over and over again. And to hear some real radio that's not, even NPR is just pure propaganda. They make me crazy.
Well, we're the inverse of NPR. They're 85% corporate supported. And BAI, Pacifica, is 85% listener supported with some small technical grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which underwrites some of our equipment. Which is useful for us and also helps for the conformity into a national network of broadcasting and technical distribution systems. But we are really the 99%. We are, as I like to say, the 99.5. Remember the Occupy movement?
Yeah. Well, we are taxpayers, and we deserve some share of that, you know, for things that we think are important. Yeah.
There were some other callers. They're so fascinated by our conversation. Call back 212-209-2900. We can have a salon.
Okay,
since you're reading Le Monde, we can have a salon.
Thank you, Robert.
Okay. All right. I didn't mean for you to go. I was just inviting others in. But anyway, this is Earthwatch. And this is part of the art of radio, of improvisational interactivity. And you now are on the air. Hello.
Good night, Robert Knight. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. How are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
Mr. Robert.
Yes,
sir. I want to say something. Well, make an observation. But I have to go digress before I start. About 10 years ago, I was watching C-SPAN. And there were a group from the biggest institute, the Ford Corporation, the Carnegie, and those groups, you know who I'm talking about. And they were given a documentary on the destruction of the core of the Middle East. I would like to see, I would like most of the people that who are part of BAI and the listeners to really watch this thing. It was a PowerPoint given on how they were going to go into the entire Middle Eastern countries and dismantle the heads of state one by one by a kind of what you call on the hand movements where the main concept was control chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
And I am watching this whole situation where Iran and those countries, and this was before the very last Persian Gulf war with Iraq. It was just about around that time. And then when I saw they went into Iraq, and then when George Bush gave a speech about the axis of evil involving the three nations that he wanted to, you know, demise. And then when I really sat back and began to think about that PowerPoint presentation that I saw on C-SPAN of going into the Middle East and destroying the core, because the main core in the Middle East is oil. And they need the oil because at that time it was also explained that China were becoming a world power and they had to be able to win the fight before the Chinese were able to, you know, finally envelop and control the oil resources of the so-called Middle East. I don't even like to use that word. So I think that what we are seeing here is not merely a power struggle for the individuals of those countries to liberate themselves from the tyrants. I think it was a concerted effort by the U.S. to commingle within the natural desires of these people to really overcome their tyrants, but for the U.S. to then to go in and knock down the heads of states and then use their heads of money and come up with a lot of fictitious plans, such as like what you'll call like microeconomics in order to control the land because the people will have high interest rates and all those kind of things. So what you're seeing here is a concerted effort to reshape the entire globe under U.S. hegemony, and is being played out here in front of our eyes. And most of us are totally, totally detached from the realities of what is actually happening in the world on a global scale.
You know the trick of magic. The trick of magic is indirection or misdirection.
And the trick of magic. The trick of magic.
Hello.
Indirection or misdirection.
Hello.
Yes, you have your radio on. Please turn the radio off. Yes. Hello. Misdirection is the trick of pointing an audience's attention to a thing that is irrelevant to the prestidigitation, the manipulation, the optical illusion. And I appreciate what that caller was saying, because we are so frequently misdirected with advertising and commercials and news emoters and chauvinistic international coverage on domestic racism and Fear and Loathing, Deimos and Phobos. Today in the New York Post, there, and Daily News, which is pretty much the same thing now, since a Rupert Murdoch guy is also editing the Daily News, as well as News Corp owning the Post. And they're showing this, Johnny get angry, Johnny get mad. The police commissioner said, you shiftless Negro leaders, why aren't you coming out in support of stop and frisk? They shot a baby the other day in the leg. And the silence, your silence is shameful. Don't you colored people know how to speak out for rights? This is Raymond Kelly, the racist police commissioner of New York, who is on well on his way to a million young brothers stopped per year. And Mayor Napoleon is, you know, backing it up, too. So Raymond Kelly comes out and says, you black people, you're shiftless. You're not complaining about gunshots. Well, you know what? Since 2002 and 2012, over a 10-year period in which New York mayors, especially Bloomberg, have aggressed and accelerated stop and frisk, the number of gunshots per annum is exactly the same. Stop and frisk has nothing to do with reduction of gunshot crime in New York.
Well, you black people, you're too silent about this. We need stop and frisk.
That's Raymond Kelly. And Jumaane Williams said, you know, it's not that we're silent, fool. It's just that you're deaf. And I'm not spelling that the black way either. This is Earthwatch, and you're on the air. Let me just complete one more point regarding the prior caller. And he was talking about how there was a domino theory that was expressed a decade ago. And I'm reminded, by, I have such smart people around me. And they help me look good sometimes. And one of them presented me with a study from the year 2002, by the Institute for Strategic Studies about the coming salience of African oil, but which was really a geopolitical agenda for overthrows, which also intimates in the way the caller was referring to a long-established plan of sequential overthrow. And that's what we're seeing today in Syria. How did all of a sudden Bashar al-Assad was cool like that, and then all of a sudden he's a monster? It's because, I mean, maybe he is. But the difference is the selective government-cultivated coverage that we're seeing. And I refuse to be manipulated that way. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello. It's Tom from the Bronx here.
Hello, Tom.
Yeah, I'd like to say that I'd like to get on the domestic front just for a moment. And WBAI Radio will have to, whether they like it or not, start hiring people to take care of their premiums.
And that's a conversation I don't want to have on the air because it's so unfair without my putting myself in a position of authority to somehow appoint myself an ad hoc supervisor of a department. And I see people working, and it was worse than before, and it's getting better by the day. And one of the things about due process is that there are slander sites that allow just any kind of crap and lies to be told about people. And the funny thing is, any questions could easily be resolved by simply contacting the target of the slander. So I know that your call is not meant to be that, but for me to talk ignorant about a department that I see is filled with good-hearted, hard-working people, I think would be unfair. Because of the incompleteness of response. And I'm not saying that you might not have legit complaints and stuff. Of course there are. But neither jury nor judge am I. This is Earthwatch. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
You know, I am constantly amazed at how critical and how thoughtful and thought-provoking the discussion on WBAI is all the time. I heard the tail end of a show that you had, I think it was yesterday? Well, you mentioned this. You mentioned that we're drumming war with Syria and we're going to go there. And I'm amazed that they're still letting voices of reason and critical thought like your own and some of the other voices on BAI come out with this.
I like what you're saying so much. I want you to turn your radio down so everybody can hear it real good.
Okay, hold on a moment.
Hey there, you there. Please, pray, carry on, brother.
No, seriously, because it's amazing. I was listening to NPR, and I juxtaposed NPR to BAI, and the nonsense and the drivel that they try to pass through NPR without any real critical thought, and I just turned to BAI, and again, like you continue to push these ideas and you make these connections, which are obvious, but because they're not being played out in the media that we have, though, the general media that we have, people are not necessarily seeing it. Campaign financing, we're selling our elections away. Well, we're going to war with so many different countries. The world's unstable. You know, and no one's really talking about these issues and saying, how are these things connected? How are they all fitting in? And I applaud you and BAI and some of the other commentators who actually have the strength and the fortitude to bring this truth to the public. Because, again, I think of it, but sometimes I'm like, well, you know, but when you have someone as eloquent as you who bring up facts and connect it for the public, then it's like, okay, thank you again, because that's the purpose, and that's what we need. We need real journalism. We need real reporters who enlighten the public. That's your responsibility, and you're doing it. Sterling, thank you again. Continue the good work.
You are the blossom. You are the blossom of the seed that is WBAI, and I'd like to interview or ask you. I thank you for... being astute and seeing the connections and recognizing they're being made. But I believe that people like me, or people like myself, that we are catalysts. We are things that happen in the midst of a grander social chemistry. And I'd like to know how you reflect that wisdom you so eloquently just expressed. How do you manifest that in society and people?
I sit with my friends. You are archived, and I bring some of your shows to my classes with the students, and I try to get them to think and realize how all of this affects their lives. Like, from what you tell us and how you educate me, I bring it to my friends, and I bring it to the students that I teach. And at some point, I know I don't have the autonomy that you do, and I will get in trouble for it. But, you know, that's how it happens. Word of mouth, pass on the information. And you give me so much to go and fund so many different conversations. Not only you, but a lot of other reporters and other journalists on BAI. And again, continue your work, because I'm scared. Every time I see the connections you make, I think they're still letting this show, they're still letting these people talk. Because, you know, it's amazing. It's like we live in a really controlled society, and surprised they're still letting you have the airwaves. I contribute all the time to the AI. And I even want to volunteer. I just, every time I try to call the volunteer line to see when I can come in, it's somebody picks up. Just, again, just continue to do what you're doing, because you're giving me and everybody else who don't necessarily understand or have certain facts, you're funding us with information that can eventually cause some movement. And that's what we need. Thanks
well,
again.
Thank you so much. Please be in touch. My email is rknight, R-K-N-I-G-H-T at WBA.org, and I'm so impressed that your conversation reflects your pedagogical talent and career. Thank you.
Thank you again.
This is Earthwatch. Wow. 212-209-2900. Wow. You're on the air. My name is Robert Knight.
Yeah, I got a question for you, Robert. Like, this stop and frisk business.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the cops interpreting the law just on their own, or was this coming from the leadership, from the commissioner? How, I can't believe that for 10 years or for as long as it was, which is huge, that they were that the cops were actually just on their own interpreting the Constitution.
No, it came from upstairs, Giuliani, Bloomberg.
That's public record, or it's just...
Well, remember, one of the defenses, I have actually played the audio of this. Maybe I can find it before the show is over. It was the police commissioner who will never be mayor, Raymond Kelly. And he was in Albany. Now, I've traveled to Albany many times, and recently was at an event where Michael Bloomberg was there. And, you know, there's a freedom of roving and interrogation that reporters and the public enjoy in the state capitol in Albany. And whenever somebody has a press conference, people are polite, and there's a back and forth, a Q&A, question and answer. Not so with Michael Bloomberg. The day that Napoleonically compensating runt of a fascist held a so-called press conference, he had a beefcake bigger than professional wrestling in suits surrounding him like a football linebacker squad. And I'm Robert Knight. You know, I'm a reporter and stuff. And one or two of them tried to intimidate me. And I stood my ground. Because I am Robert Knight in New York. But the chilling effect, and Bloomberg talking about, oh, we'll not answer that question now. We'll answer questions when I feel like answering questions. The guy is completely insane. He's out of control. But I say that to say this. Remember Giuliani's... what people think Giuliani's stupid, and he is. But one of the most creative things he did was an exegesis, a prolegomena for fascism. They called it broken windows. It means, well, if you want to stop crime, you go to the broken windows. Well, where are the broken windows? Well, they're in the neighborhoods that the banks have been redlining to save them for the yuppies. And the, where we've been sending the junkies, so the property values goes down and the banks make a lot of money. So we've got to have enforcement in the broken windows district. And the broken windows district is the one where, before that, Mayor Beam cut down fire department services, meaning more buildings would burn and more people would be displaced and less continuity of community would occur. So, Julian says, well, we got to have more policing in the broken windows. If you stop a broken window, then you'll stop murder. You'll stop crime.
Quality of life. Yeah.
Yes. And out of Giuliani and the illegally third-termed, never vote for Christine Quinn because she voted for that crap to give Bloomberg a third term. She and the entire city council, in my opinion, have betrayed democracy. But wow. In any case...
Will they ever face a judge?
We are the judges, ain't we?
Yeah.
But... And so they invented a thing called CompStat, which is simply a digitization of repression. They used false figures and an avalanche of statistics in order to defend more and more intrusive bureaucratic police interference. This goes completely away from community policing, the way that maybe you and certainly I grew up, where you knew the cop in your neighborhood, and he knew whose mama to call if you did wrong, you know? But now they have Hessians being imported from New Jersey and Long Island and Putnam County. And I actually remember the point. In a press conference when he was challenged on Stop and Frisk, which is now on target for 1 million kids this year, all of them colored, pretty much. Ray Kelly said, well, no, Stop and Frisk is good, because according to the comp stats, we've done something and stopped crime. But I reiterate what I expressed earlier in the program. The number of gunshot wounds in New York City has not changed between 2002 and 2012. So they're saying that they're oppressing black kids and giving them records, jeopardizing their college, jeopardizing their employment. This is ethnocide. Stop and frisk is more about more than a procedure. It is a form, in my opinion, of ethnocide. See, we can't toss around the word genocide, because that means the actual killing of people, but a culturally directed form of oppression. The technical term for that is ethnocide. Side means killing, you know. Let's call it ethnic cleansing. Let's call it, you know, they'll say we don't kill every one of them that we stop. Mm-hmm. So I cannot properly call it ethnocide. But you get my point. Your turn.
Absolutely.
You have thoughts on
that? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to somebody else. Yeah, well, I was just thinking that that's the database. You got a database of perps, for drinking a can of beer on the street or whatever, you know, yeah. So they get a database, and then they have a list of criminals which to put that, add to that 1.5 million black men in jail. Yeah, my general question was, where is the law? Are we getting outside of the law completely?
Yes, because there has been created in America and in New York, in particular, a new Uberklaus of dumbland security, of police and military officials who take the initiative of the moment regardless of the law and the consequences in their pathetic machismo, a adrenaline-filled insanity of paranoia. And the real decline in the quality of life comes from the philosophy of policing today. Do you hear that story about this fabulous couple? They were at the Jazz at Lincoln Center the other day. No. And when the concert let out, there was a marimba musician. And, you know, at the subway stop, you know, the trains don't run very often, you know, at that time of night. Yeah. They were dancing the Charleston. And some dumbass cop arrested them for that. They spent a day in jail. Because a dumbass cop felt like he had the authority to do that. And we must collectively create a complete social reflectivity where that kind of behavior is not a matter of consensus. And when I talk about that stupid cop, this is not to disrespect the ones who really believe in their mission and read the Constitution. But, really, why should a citizen have to be at a flip of a coin as to whether or not she or he will have his or her rights? That's wrong, and anybody in policing or military who behaves in that way is a violator of their oath.
Looks like that's who they want serving them, man. You know, we just had the dance parade in New York City June, was it? No, May. The dance parade. And the dance parade, you know, goes from 20th Street and Broadway down to Tompkins Square Park, all along down Broadway and, of course, 8th Street, St. Mark's. And it's a beautiful thing, man. All the dance groups come out and dance. But, of course, the fact is that dancing is still outlawed in most
neighborhood bars. In fact, all of them except those that have cabaret licenses. Since the 20s, when they were trying to discourage interracial dancing. So, I mean, you know...
You got that history right. Oh, they did not like that colored music.
Well, dance is still outlawed. Today, right now. Yeah, so, man, you know, this law business is really... I don't know, man. I don't know. We're starting to live in a lawless society, essentially. You know.
Mm, absolutely.
Oh, man. Hey, Robert, thank you so much, man. Yeah. I'm one of your followers. I'm in the family.
You're one of my leaders, too.
Take care.
Thank you. This is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org. And we'll be back.
Somebody just asked me upstairs about Washington, about how I felt about Washington. What a good question. What a good question. So I said, Washington's groovy. That's what I said. And it is. For Romans. To the thief. There's so much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, proud men dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. No, 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 no. No need to get excited. The thief he kindly spoke. There's so many among us. Things that life is but a joke.
This CD just ain't right. The song is great, but let me try different. This is Earthwatch on WBAI New York. My name is Robert Knight, and we have time to do an improvisational freeform program because we need volunteers. And we also have room for your calls on air at 212-209-2900. And I am really impressed with the depth of the impromptu conversations tonight. You all have been brilliant, and I'm sure there are more of you at 212-209-2900, and as we go into these days before the big war, or let me be more precise about that. Into these days of the insatiable need for further war, that the importance of there being a WBAI is truly a matter of life and death. And with that, you are on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Are you... Is this Robert Knight?
I am Robert Knight. This is Earthwatch, but please turn your radio down. I can hear it coming back.
I turned it off completely now.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, I was so happy that you mentioned that Cynthia Quinn will not be mayor because she is quite a big phony. As you know, she came out, I think, at that time with the Hoodie March. and I mean, I just feel her hypocrisy, you know? And she was right up front voting for the third term for Mr. Mayor Bloomberg, who I call Bumberg. And I was just very happy that you mentioned that. And as we get closer, I hope it's something that we can remind people of in a nice manner.
No. People are free to vote for her, and people are free to support her. And, you know, there's perhaps some LGBT nostalgia that makes people think that because she might have once been in that community, that her that her roots are greater than her ambition and payoffs.
Absolutely.
And I think it's the latter.
I think absolutely the latter. And I would hope that folks can separate out, you know, issues.
I ought to get a list. I used to have one, I think, of everybody who voted to violate the New York City Charter and let Bloomberg run three times, mayor three times. Right. And, you know, Bloomberg indicated that before when he said that Giuliani should continue as mayor after after November 2011.
Right. I remember
2001,
that.
Rather. Yeah.
Yes. That would be great if
he... So he identified himself as a fascist.
Pretty much.
He was mayor.
Yeah.
And the Democrat Party candidate said the same thing, though.
Yeah. I'll just try to get that list up, pretty close to the election, so people, you know, those who have a very short memory, they need some reminding of very...
Well, you know, maybe one day we'll have elections as fair as the ones in Egypt.
Right. Listen, that... did you hear, I'm not sure if you heard, but earlier today, briefly, there was, oh dear, they're talking about Egypt. No, someone was just talking about the, just went out of my mind. They were talking about the elections and the Arab Spring and this Libya issue that still really gnaws at me about how they're treating people of color. They're all colored, excuse me, but I mean the ones that they, quote, identify as being of Southern African descent, you know, that kind of fine-tuning people try to do over there, fine-tuning that whoever's a little darker hue, well, you must have been from Gaddafi or you belong to the southern part of Africa. And it just seems to me that this whole thing is playing out the powers that be right now, the NATO folks, you know, the French and the German, all these folks along with the U.S., are kind of just sliding on through the Middle East, coming on down northern Africa, and eventually coming to the Western, trying to compete with China, with the African folks with this land. And it's just a picture. It's just so clear to me. And I get troubled by folks who don't get, who just can't seem to put the puzzle pieces together quickly enough. And I get very impatient to have to hear the questions over and over again. It's a continuum. You know, it's been a policy in place that has worked so well for them over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reason why change it now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just hope folks in Africa are a little smarter this time.
Yeah. Well,
you know, I'm not sure if they are, because I'm still stuck on that idea that African Americans who are indigenous to this country by way of the slave trade, we just have a different kind of experience and memory and understanding, I think, about things, you know? And many folks are kind of falling in love with any other slave master will do besides U.S. right now because they're angry. But, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're Chinese or Arab or India. None of them will give you favor. You have the best plan. You have the best. You have it. You are the one, you know.
You know, I'm a free agent. I'm a free agent. I'm going to sign off onto the next plantation next door.
Yes. Oh,
I'm a free agent.
Please. So, I mean, when I called, and I do call a couple other programs, but mostly I just shudder, and I try to get in on some of the other shows and say, look, Africa, you're being, they're coming after you again. Do you understand?
I'm going to the plantation next door because the chitlins are greener.
Yes, or the ice is colder. You know, that ice is a little colder than my ice. It's crazy. It's sad.
Yeah.
And it's pathetic. And we sit here trying to drum up every ounce of explanation, knowledge, you know, to say it's not we're trying to harm you. We're your best friends, actually. You know, we're your best friends because we want you to succeed. You know, we don't want you to go down the same route. We want you to succeed. Hold on to your land. Don't sell it for $24 and be sorry 400 years later. You know what I'm saying? And they're kind of like, they kind of straying into that business of giving, almost giving the land away. You know, I've heard some stories that are upsetting already where the hedge fund people are going over there buying up because they know they've effed up America's soil. They've effed up everything. You know, so go get something brand new like they always do and then go crap on that. You know, where are they going? When is the last little morsel? When would that be enough? Never. Some folks never have enough. We're going to have to change the whole system. It doesn't work for most folks in the world. And most folks in the world do not, should not continue to accept this nonsense that they're lesser than if you have $1 billion in your pocket or in your bank account. You know, who needs all that money for what? You know, it just drives me nuts. But we've got to find a way to save. I don't even want to save this, and I'm not even sure anymore. You know?
Well,
so anyway,
you said a mouthful. Thank you.
I'm a little frustrated, but I'm not giving up, and I'm going to keep on educating my grandson and keep trying to tell him how to be safe, you know? He's very bright, very brilliant, and he knows so much. And it's, in a way, it's good to know a lot when you're 23, but then you have a long way to go to try to hold on. You understand? I'm 73, so I can kind of say I've had a fairly decent run with this, and still, as an artist, it's something I have to hold on to, my work. And many people don't have something they can hold on to except their frustration, you know? But anyway, as usual, you're brilliant, sweetie, and I really just love your program. And you, like I said, your mom, I know you lost your parent when you not too long ago.
About this time of year, actually. Yeah.
I did call to give you my condolences, and I lost my mom 23 years ago, and it seemed like yesterday. Anyway, it never goes away, but it does get easier. And just to remind you of that again, it does get a little easier.
Thank you so much.
Okay, sweetie. Good night now.
Bye-bye. This is Earthwatch. Well, you're on the air. Robert Knight here. You're on the air. This is Earth.
Hi, let me just turn down my radio. Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
Okay. Good morning.
Hey.
I just wanted to touch on what you were saying about the couple who got arrested for dancing on the platform, etc. Just because tonight I witnessed similar overzealousness by New York's finest. In regard to Manhattan Hinge, are you familiar with that phenomenon?
If you Manhattan Hinge? No, tell me about it. Tell me about it.
Basically, it's a very, very cool sunset, which happens about twice a year in New York. I forgot who coined the term Manhattan Hinge, but they kind of...
Is that where the sun sets collinear with the east-west streets of Manhattan?
Exactly. So it happened tonight at 8:12, and the previous one was May 29th. And you'll get to see a half a version of it tomorrow if you want to experience the phenomenon. But anyway, it was a really cool and beautiful thing, and there were loads and loads of people there with cameras, etc. We were staying on the sidewalk, but every time the traffic lights changed and stopped, the best view was in the middle of the street. So that's what we'd all do. I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds of people there. So basically, we were kind of adhering, you know, and being respectful of the traffic, etc. But, you know, this thing only happens twice a year. And it's not like, you know, this is an eclipse and there were going to be thousands of people hoarding the street. Anyway, along comes the NYPD. And they're blaring the most obnoxious sirens, trying to disperse the crowds. I mean, just really, really, you know, uncalled for behavior. I mean, the thing only lasts a few minutes, and then the sun hides behind the building. But once it's perfectly aligned and it's there, it's just the most beautiful thing to see. And if I just thought to myself, couldn't they just let us have 5 minutes without, you know, being Gestapo-like? There was no need for it. You know, and it just really annoys me. And also, you would think this has been going on for years and years and years. Surely, the police department knows by now that crowds will gather at these cross streets. So to expect there to be a few crowds on 34th Street, 57th, or wherever people choose to watch it from. So, you know, just let them watch it, and then, you know, we're gone.
I hear a very beautiful soul with a sense of beauty, vision, and community. I feel so sorry for what you experienced.
Well, for what everyone experienced, you know, it's like this cool thing in nature that's happening in the urban jungle, and it's just going to be, you know, it's ephemeral, it's really quick. Just let us experience it, and then we'll go about our business. But no, they come in, like, all heavy-footed, and oh, it just really, it was a buzzkill, but thankfully, you know, the sun superseded their obnoxiousness, so well, it was all good in the end.
I really love the sound of your voice, and I'm saddened by the story you tell, but encouraged by the spirit you're exhibiting. And
thank you. And if anyone wants to see a half version of it, Manhattan Henge, tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be pretty close to the same thing tomorrow.
Yeah. Pretty close, but not as excellent as today. But for those who've never heard of it, try and get out tomorrow on one of the cross streets in Manhattan, 34th Street and Lex, 37 Park, 457th, and you'll just enjoy it so much, and you'll be glad that you're alive. That's all I have to say, and thank you for letting me speak to you and vent.
What a beautiful moment. Thank you.
Okay, but good night.
Bye. This is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York. What a beautiful call. What a great audience this program enjoys.
Ain't it just like the night to play tricks when you're trying to be so quiet? We're sitting here stranded, but we're all doing our best to deny it. And Louise holds a handful of rain, tempting you to defy it. Lights flicker from the opposite loft. In this room the heat pipes just cough. The country music station plays soft, but there's nothing, really nothing to turn off. Just Louise and her lover so entwined, and his visions of Johanna that conquer my mind.
This is Earthwatch. I'm Max Headroom. And here to the WBAI New York 99.5 megahertz FM. I don't know what's wrong with the data throughput here. But we're having a good time with you and your calls. This top of the hour, WBAI New York. I don't really have to say that, you know. Station identification, which comprises the call letters and the city of broadcast origin, with optionally the word in between, need not be done at the top and the bottom of the hour for artistic or programmatic continuity. But anyway, it is the top of the hour, and this is WBAI, and we get a reprieve tonight. We don't have no volunteers right now. And the phone number is 212-209. 2900. See, I'm saying that like you have 2900. He's a brilliant guy, professional, very intelligent man. I listen to his show, Talk Back, which precedes 5 o'clock shadow, by the way. And the number here is 212-209-2900. My planned excursion is, no longer operable at, for this broadcast tonight. But we'll have more for you in the coming days. And I am gonna hit you up for some money. But tonight is not that night. So, we get to talk. And this being Earthwatch and having something of a celestial base, I was just so, you know how when you leap and run across the rooftops and you see people singing from the other side of the street and down the block and around the corner and around the world, kindred spirits, it's a beautiful thing. And I felt
hello?
I felt that. Hey, hang on just a second. Just a second. I'll be right with you. And out of fairness, however, for that beautiful caller who joined a crowd looking at the perfect sunset for a Manhattan street. As I recall, Manhattan streets are angled about 30 degrees south of the true east-west line. And out of fairness, the cops who interfered with the people watching this beautiful moment, the cops, I think, may have had a point. Because a crowd was gathering in the vicinity of a nuclear device. The sun is a nuclear fusion device, and certainly under, after 9/11, we cannot have people gathering and supporting nuclear devices like the sun. You're on the air. This is Earthwatch.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
Good evening. Late morning, yes, it is. I have a question about, I was reading something about Illuminati. You heard of that?
I have heard of that.
Yes.
It's a thesis that there is a highly informed and adept conspiracy that guides all things through secret organizations that have lasted through the centuries.
Right, I'm from James. My name is James. I'm calling from the Bronx.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Okay, I want your opinion. What do you think of that? I think that's just somebody just trying to get people attention.
Let me put it this way. What do you think about 1,000 books being published about a so-called secret organization?
Really?
If there's 1,000 books, how can it be a secret organization?
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
That's funny.
I think that many, if not most people, need an elite belief system so that they can feel that their life is worthy because they're smarter than somebody else.
Oh.
Yeah, you understand where I'm going with that?
Yes, I do.
Well, that means...
This is the first time on the station, and I have to get used to this.
Yeah, you're doing great, man. You're doing great. You're a natural. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for doing that. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you for letting me be in your ear. This is Earthwatch on WBAI 99.5. Phone number 212-209-2900. There is a fidelity problem with my playback device here. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good.
Okay, so the thing about the Illuminati is that, like you said, if there's thousands of books on it, then is it really that secret? So let's say that it's true that there are these dudes in control of everything. What are you going to do about it? Like, so I really think that anybody who's listening who believes that stuff, just understand that that's why WBAI doesn't talk about that. That's why WBAI doesn't talk about UFOs, is because if that is true and these, like, ever-powerful beings exist, there's totally nothing we can do about it. So, and there's no way to prove or disprove anything regarding them because everything's all so secret. So there's plenty of other things to worry about and do stuff, and that, you know, stuff you can, like, do stuff about. So
you are brilliant. On that. You make me want to move to Utah and found a new religion.
Oh, really? I don't know about that. Then you'd have to have a bunch of followers and stuff. I just think for yourself.
No,
really.
No, because I got the inspiration from a secret book in a language only I can understand.
Oh, I get it.
And I got magic underwear.
I'll have to look you up when I get to Utah and follow you all. Mm-hmm. Okay, bye.
You are brilliant. Thank you. Wow. Perfect. Right to the point. This is one hell of a dinner party tonight here on Earthwatch. Can you imagine a crowd like this gathered together in real life? This is really, really sweet, huh? 212-209-2900 is the number. And my name is Robert Knight, and you guys are great.
It just likes the night to play tricks when you're trying to be so quiet. We sit here stranded, though we all do our best to deny it. And Louise holds a handful of rain, tempting you to defy it. Lights flicker from the opposite loft. In this room, the heat pipes just cough. The country music station plays soft, but there's nothing, really nothing, to turn off. Just Louise and her lover so entwined, and these visions of Johanna that conquer my mind. In the empty lot where the ladies play, blind man's bluff with the keychain, and the all-night girl, they whisper of escapades out on the D train. We can hear the night watchman click his flashlight, ask himself if it's him or them who should be insane. But Louise, she's alright, she's just near. She's delicate, she seems like the mirror, but she just makes it all too concise and too clear that Johanna's not here. The ghost of electricity howls in the bones of her face, where these visions of Johanna have now taken my place. Little boy lost, he takes himself so seriously. He brags of his misery, he likes to live dangerously. And when bringing her name up, he speaks of her farewell kiss to me. sure got a lot of gall to be so useless and all, muttering small talk at the wall while I'm in the hall. Oh, how can I explain? It's so hard to get on. And these visions of Johanna, they'd kept me up past the dawn. Inside the museums, infinity is going up on trial. Voices echo, this is what salvation must be like after a while. But Mona Lisa must have had the highway blues, you can tell by the way she smiles. See the primitive wallflower freeze when the jelly-faced women all sneeze. Hear the one with the mustache say, geez, I can't find my knees. Jewels and binoculars hang from the head of the mule, but these visions of Johanna, they make it all seem so cruel. The peddler now speaks to the countess who's pretending to care for him, saying, name me somebody that's not a parasite and I'll go out and say a prayer for him. But like Louise always says, you can't look at much, can you, many she herself prepares for him. And Madonna, she still has not showed. We see this empty cage now corrode, where her cape of the stage once had flowed. The fiddler, he now steps to the road. He writes, everything's been returned which was old, on the back of the fish truck that loads, while my conscience explodes. The harmonicas play, the skeleton keys and the rain, and these visions of Johanna are now.
Ain't it just like the night? This is Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight, and you're on the air. The number is 209-2900. Hello.
Yeah, I'd just like to say I got an incomplete premium.
Yeah, this is Earthwatch, and you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
An incomplete.
Yeah, okay. Vortex.
Hello.
Hello. Turn your radio down, please.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hello. 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 Are you there? Hello. Don't hear. I can shout you. Hello.
Can I turn my radio down?
Yeah, turn it down.
Okay, wait just 1 minute.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
Oh, I just want to say why, like, I was telling my granddaughter about, she was always mentioning about black as a bad color. I said, no, colors are not bad. People are bad because they're demonized. Because when she watches video games, they always have the bad figure or the evil guy wearing black. And, you know, and I said, she said, why is that? I said, well, that's so-called negative, positive, positive, negative, but it's not the color.
Well, wait a minute. Out of fairness. She, or he or they must not live in Manhattan below 14th Street.
No, I don't.
Because everybody wears black because it looks so good.
Oh, no, I get your point there. But see, that's what I'm saying. The color
black is beautiful.
Right. Thank you. I'll give another example. When you go to court, what does the judge wear?
A dress?
No, it's just his robe.
Well, I think of the Supreme Court as men in dresses who control women's bodies.
Right. I agree with what I said. And I point out those examples. I said, well, you ever notice when they want to show power, what do they wear?
Mm-hmm.
A color of God. And I said, what's the most powerful thing in the universe? Mm. A black hole.
Wow, you're a brilliant teacher.
Thank you, my brother Robert. You're a wonderful listener.
Yeah.
And you got some beautiful colors. I love that one about Utah. Why don't they use that trumpet to knock down that wall in Arizona?
Speaking of walls, you remind me of something. In my cybernetic side, I keep track of some things, and there's a cybersecurity website. In fact, Schneier, I've actually had him on 5 o'clock shadow, and he posted an article about the insanity of the excessive policing that characterizes American society now.
Wow.
And how the procedures are insecure. And in the course of that kind of a general discussion, there was an item I loved, and it was about drug enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the story about how to prevent the transport of sweet, blessed, lovely plant marijuana into the United States. That in Arizona, these security fools built a fence.
What?
To keep people from bringing the difficult to transport bulky, you know, per unit volume.
Right.
Unit volume per unit high, you know. So it's easy for them to go after pot.
Oh, my God.
So they built a wall. But do you know what these brilliant Mexicans did?
They, on
their side, well, not a tunnel. That's a good thought. That's a smart thought. But no, I swear to God, they installed a catapult on their side of the moon. And they, I swear, they were shooting 100-pound bags of pot over the security fence. Brilliant. Brilliant. And somebody made the contemporary allusion that well, every technology can be overcome by a new technology, and then some wit said, yeah, a fence being a 3,000-year-old technology was overcome by a catapult, which is only 2,500 years old.
That's too much. You say.
Woo!
Old is new again.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the bright moment.
I can say, well, no, what good about it? Keep being yourself.
All right. This is Earthwatch. I love your call. Thank you. This is Earthwatch, and you now are on the air. Hello.
Yes.
Hey. Tonight. Also, to be fair, the police didn't taser or baton anyone to death for trying to look at the sunset. So one does have to give Jack his jacket, as some of my Caribbean friends like to say. So I just like to note that. The police didn't actually kill anyone. They used some restraint. Kudos to the NYPD. Good night.
You are brilliant. Who are you? What do you do?
Well...
Well, we have good news and we have bad news. At least they didn't kill anybody, eh? Hey? Here, this song is for that caller. This is Earthwatch on WBAI 99.5.
Cheer up, Brian. You know what they say? Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's just something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling it in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on the right side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side.
Records available in the foyer. Someone's got to live as well, you know. Who do you think pays for all this rubbish?
Always look on the
money back, you know. I told him. I said to him, Bernie, I said, they'll never make that money back.
Hey, hey. What a lark, what a beautiful night, this improvisational, let's see, two-thirds of the passage of the sign over the horizon or the meridian. And this has been an impromptu edition of Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight, and speaking of people who always look at the bright side of life, Sydney Smith, regular fellow, is giving me that bit elbows signal. Well, thank you for listening. We'll be back. This time next week, I think. Who knows? And certainly tomorrow, 5 o'clock shadow. And Our technical staff, Tony Ryan and Jenny Smith, are here very assiduously doing something, so I'm going to say goodnight. Love you all. Thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, join us on Friday, July 13th, 2012, from 12 midnight to 2 a.m., as the award-winning Midnight Ravers proudly present our marathon special, The Best of the Midnight Ravers, Volume 1, featuring highlights from six classic shows, including surprises from some new shows as well. So, mark it on your calendar, tell a friend, tune in, and be sure to show your support. That's Friday, July 13th, 12 midnight to 2 a.m., for The Best of the Midnight Ravers, Volume 1. Only on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. You know it'll be ravelicious.
The Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special.
I've worked at stations that had their backs to the wall financially.
The next meeting of the WBAI local station board will take place on Wednesday, July 11th at 7 p.m. at Alwan for the Arts, 16 Beaver Street on the fourth floor. Chris Hatzis, the new WBAI program director, will report on his initial impressions of the programming on WBAI.
Essentially, that's what I'm doing in my first month or so here, is getting to know everybody, how they do their programs, what issues they have.
Take the 4 or 5 to Bowling Green. Cross to Beaver Street between Whitehall and Broad.
By the people that work here and how hard they work, believe me, I'm well aware of the financial situation of the station.
Again, that's Wednesday, July 11th at 7 p.m. at Alwan for the Arts, 16 Beaver Street.
I do believe that there is still and has always been a lot of goodwill for BAI in the city of New York.
Come join us for a discussion about programming and your other concerns.
And I think it's my job, and in fact all of our jobs, to get that goodwill back.
Goodwill indeed. You're tuned to WBAI in New York and WBAI.org. It's 1:29 and some seconds after one there, the preceding program, Earth Watch with Robert Knight, was brought to you live with certain portions on recording and others on digital delay. And the announcement you just heard for the local station board meeting was held this evening. And you'll be hearing more about that in a while, about our financial problems. I have a feeling the staff will be hearing a lot about it on Friday, from what I understand. It's nice knowing you. Our next scheduled program will be coming up in just a few moments. Please, please, stay tuned.
Hello, listeners and supporters. I'm Kathy Davis, the Public Affairs Director for WBAI Radio, with an audio note. We are working hard at completing your pledges and sending out your premium gifts. We remind you that in order to facilitate this process, we are now adding the shipping and handling costs to each pledge. We trust and hope that you will understand and support our need to cover these costs in order to facilitate a more efficient and successful process of fulfillment. All of us thank you for your continued support of WBAI Radio, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, join us on Friday, July 13th, 2012, from 12 midnight to 2 a.m., as the award-winning Midnight Ravers proudly present our marathon special, The Best of the Midnight Ravers, Volume 1, featuring highlights from six classic shows, including surprises from some new shows as well. So, mark it on your calendar, tell a friend, tune in, and be sure to show your support. That's Friday, July 13th, 12 midnight to 2 a.m., for The Best of the Midnight Ravers, Volume 1. Only on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM.
Yo, this is G-Love on WBAI, New York.
Good afternoon and welcome to this special edition today of 5 O'Clock Shadow, in which we celebrate a new day, audience growth, and new life for WBAI. My name is Robert Knight. I'm the host of 5 O'Clock Shadow, a program that you have been supporting in a very fine way, we have reason to believe. And I hope today will be no different, because this is the first day of our summer fund drive, and never at a more important time could your love and support for this radio station come than this day and this time. I'm here with Thiago Barroso, our producer. You heard him file his first broadcast report from the field on yesterday's edition, and Michael G. Haskins is behind the board operating the audio today. And I come here with two sets of feelings today. One of them is a sense of satisfaction and joy with this wonderful radio station that defies the traditions of war and the deceptions of consumption, and that tries to enact a sense of concern, respect for life, and an end to war. That's the good part. The part that troubles me today is how much closer we are to yet another one. As you know, having listened to 5 O'Clock Shadow, over the past many months, the United States has been clandestinely aiding the overthrow of the government of Syria. The Obama administration, with the proxy of NATO, along with Italy and France and other European states seeking the oil of Libya, engaged in an invasion. The Muslim fundamentalist militias of Libya, in the course of murdering the leader of the Libyan Arab Jamahiriya, Muammar Gaddafi, also broke into the weapons stores of Libya and transported them through Turkey to Syria, where there is now, it would not be, I think, technically correct to call it a civil war. It is a clandestine war. It is a contra war with transnational invaders supported by the United States and working through a NATO base in Turkey as part of the delivery system. And the State Department Secretary Clinton has been speaking the most raucous kind of belligerent rhetoric. The news media has been sucked into using propaganda from YouTube and using that regardless of its reliability, and often presenting false information, like where the so-called rebels that on one occasion lit some automobile tires to create some smoke in the background that they claimed was the result of a Syrian government artillery attack on a town they had taken over. And the reason I'm alarmed at the possibility for an American escalation in Syria today, to right the wrongs of the conditions that have been created by clandestine support for the attempted overthrow as a necessary chess piece to be removed from the board before the big battle and invasion and even further intervention in the nation of Iran. The ugly events that took place in Libya were fig-leafed by the United Nations Security Council. And as recently as yesterday on the program, we spoke about the racist Cyrenaican militias that have taken over the country and are rounding up people of African hue, killing them, torturing them, corralling them, imprisoning them, and seeing the effect of what happened with so-called humanitarian resolutions from the United Nations, a rubber stamp for war. The nation of Russia, one of the five permanent members of the Security Council, said that they would not countenance any military intervention, that is to say, explicit military intervention in Syria. And then today, this very day, comes a statement from a person who claims to be close to the inner thinking of the Russian former Soviet leadership. Now, thus far, Russia has maintained its military arms contract commitment and delivery to much scrutiny and interference from the United States and its allies. And today, a man named Dmitry Seems says that it is his understanding from internal counsel with Russian leadership that Russia would not resist an intervention in Syria at this time. Speaking on CNN earlier today, he said, recently, a top-level Russian delegation hosted by the Center for the National Interest included a senior Russian official being there in an official capacity. And we had a private dinner, and this question was raised, and the answer was very clear. Russia would not welcome such an intervention. Russia would not approve such an intervention. But it would not resist such an intervention. And this intervention would not become a major issue in the Russian-American relationship. Whether or not it's a bluff, whether it's someone trying to act important or talk big, I do not know. But that's in a chill down my spine, because it is an election year, and wars have a tendency sometimes to temporarily jumpstart economies and political ambitions. And so I think it's important for us at this time to think about wars and how selective compassion, how choosing only one set of victims to show on TV can manipulate even a good heart into evil action and the escalation of war. This is WBAI on the Pacifica Radio Network, and we kind of don't like war. We think that better ways of negotiating human and cultural differences need to be found. And that is why, as part of our fundraising drive today, I am presenting to you what I think is the best done, most important film on how to understand how media like this, which you're listening to right now, all of the televisions, the interwebs, the other radio stations, how the American commercial corporate system has embedded so many tricks of psychology
and emotional manipulation to cause you to assent to the transfer of trillions of dollars into new wars that are cooked up every few months, every year, every decade. What we are offering you today is the film Psy War. That's P-S-Y-W-A-R.